from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Former State Senator Bill Eigel surprised a lot of Missouri political observers in 2024 when he placed second in the hotly contested GOP primary for governor. The St. Charles County Republican's performance was notable since he made a lot of enemies within the Missouri GOP during his 8 years in the Senate. But even though Eigel has turned his attention to becoming the next St. Charles County executive, his former colleagues in the Missouri General Assembly are still focusing on 2024. The Missouri House passed legislation seeking to curtail recurring donations to state-based campaigns, a fundraising method that Eigel and his allies used in his unsuccessful gubernatorial bid. The bill's sponsor, Representative Jim Murphy of St. Louis County, contended that the solicitations, which often didn't mention Eigel and focused on national issues, deceived vulnerable people.
The member who is not going to be named went across state lines, went all over with solicitations for campaign contributions. Never mentioned his name or what was going to be done with that money.
Joining us now is the member who is going to be named, former State Senator Bill Eigel. He served in the Missouri Senate from 2017 to 2025. Bill, welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me.
Before we have you respond to the legislation that you are purportedly the target of, let's break down what exactly we're talking about here. The Missouri Independent reported that a PAC formed to boost your campaign, known as Belief in Life and Liberty PAC, or Bill PAC, very creative, by the way, sent out emails talking about Donald Trump or national issues, and then convinced people to donate in small increments to the PAC supporting your campaign. Is that a correct explanation of what's going on here?
Well, these low-dollar networks have been really used by political candidates all over the political spectrum, going really back to 2008 with the Barack Obama campaign. He was kind of the pioneer in these low-dollar networks. And he came to the realization, and we saw in that election cycle, that a lot of people making small donations can be just as powerful as big donors or big special interests writing enormous checks. And those enormous checks is something that we really have right now in the state of Missouri. We saw it in my gubernatorial race. Of course, our current governor, Mike Kehoe, was famous for getting just enormous checks, $500,000, million-dollar checks to fund his campaign from singular donors. And the problem I see with a lot of these big checks, of course, is that when a single person writes a massive check, a lot of time there's expectations as a result of that check. So to balance that, there's been a rise of these low-dollar networks where not only are you talking about yourself as a candidate, but more than that, you're talking about ideas that you support. So a lot of the things that we put out there, whether it's through Bill PAC or Eigel for Missouri, have to do with ideas that I'm supportive of, and folks are responding and resonating to that.
Can you maybe provide an example of what these emails said, and what was the thing that was prompting someone to give you your campaign or your PAC money?
Sure. In fact, I'll give you the example of what we're seeing right now in those networks, and that is messaging concerning the Department of Government Efficiency and the idea that government ought to be more efficient. We ought to have people in office at all levels of government that are supporting government efficiency. And we send that message out not just here in Missouri, but all over the country, because as it turns out, the ideas that we're talking about just like that are popular all across America right now. And folks are responding to that by sending $1, $2, $5 to candidates that are putting these ideas out there. And you know me pretty well. You know how much I fought for government efficiency. And I love the idea that these low-dollar networks have allowed millions of people to engage in the political discussion in a way that they've never been able to before.
I do have to check you on one point. It is very true that, especially for the Bill PAC, there were thousands of small dollar donors, especially to your gubernatorial campaign. But isn't it also accurate that your gubernatorial campaign received a huge amount of money from plaintiffs' attorneys, and
sure.
they were not small dollar donations?
No, we had everything going on in the gubernatorial campaign. But I want to say I think we raised about $6.5 million total for the gubernatorial campaign.
So that includes your PAC and your campaign committee.
Correct. And I think of that total, almost a third of that came from low dollar donations, which was way more than we've ever seen in a state level, statewide race before. And I think the implications of that reality are what's causing people in Jefferson City a lot of fear right now. And it's causing a few of my former colleagues to try to target me with this bill. In other words, I think there's a huge amount of fear that anybody that can harness the power of low-dollar networks that relies on the power of their ideas to solicit donations is a huge threat to the political status quo that has typically been built by individuals asking for big checks and then running the risk of having expectations later.
Okay, but again, going back to the trial attorney aspect, if you had become governor and you took all this money from trial attorneys, wouldn't the expectation be that you would have vetoed things that were favorable to the defense bar? I don't want to get into too much of a rabbit hole, but I do want to make sure that we're not like living in a fantasy reality here.
Not at all. The way I have always dealt with exactly what you just described is the fact that when I looked for allies, big and small, I'm looking for allies and folks that would like to support me that share my ideological position. So in the case of the attorneys groups that you talk about, a lot of the things that they oppose, I also oppose. So I'll give you, and you know what those examples are. I'll give you a couple quick ones. The Bayer folks that are out there trying to prevent liability for the possibility that some of their products might hurt consumers. They don't have to, there's not an expectation there because that's how I already feel. Unfortunately, and I think this is a relatively common thing, we see too many folks in office kind of chase those big checks and are willing to change their internal compass in order to secure those checks.
Okay, so let's talk about your former colleagues and specifically about the legislation that has passed the Missouri House. Representative Jim Murphy of St. Louis County's bill would ban recurring campaign contributions without explicit permission and require those donations to stop at the end of a campaign. And he specifically cited coverage from the Missouri Independent detailing the fundraising practices of your campaign.
There was a gentleman in Nebraska, a retired veteran, who by the time he realized what had happened, had given over $2,200 to this campaign. Not only did he give $2,200 to that campaign, but the governor's race was over. And the donations continued to a county executive race in the state of Missouri, and this guy's in Nebraska. And this happened over and over and over again. There was a story in the newspaper about this, and I said, you know, this is really something that we just can't have in the state of Missouri. We can't be flim-flamming people into donating to our campaigns. We have to be above board. We're better than this.
That was Representative Jim Murphy of St. Louis County talking about his bill to crack down on recurring donations. Okay, former Senator Igel, he was clearly talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this legislation before we talk about the specific examples he was citing?
So I'm a little bit surprised that anybody in a Republican with a Republican label is talking about essentially limiting the free speech of a bunch of donors that are trying to engage in the political process. And I mean, that's what's happening here. He cited one donor to the campaign. The reality is we've had hundreds of thousands of individuals respond to the messages about ideas that I'm putting out there. So the implication that the representative is making that these donors don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're getting into, after having not talked to a single one of them. And by the way, when this bill came up in committee, I'm curious, did a single one of these donors or any donor in the state of Missouri that has ever made a low dollar donation or a recurring donation, did they show up to the hearing to say that this was a problem? Of course they didn't. Did any of the organizations, the hundreds of organizations that support veterans, that support seniors, show up to say that this was a problem? No, they did not. Not a single one of them showed up to say that this is a problem. And the reason is it's not a problem because this is a mechanism. These low-dollar networks are a mechanism for people to engage in the political process that before 2008 did not exist. And so I think the really interesting thing here is I know Jim Murphy. I know Jim Murphy knows me. He's got my phone number. If this were genuinely a case of concern that a legislator had about this, you would think that he would make a phone call and have a conversation with me about that.
And he hasn't, I assume, right?
He has not, because really what this is about is this is a political vindictive attack. And there's another interesting thought experiment that I think that if we did – now, Jim Murphy's going to he's going to term out this year, and several of the folks that were probably not my biggest fans in the legislature are also going to term out. If we don't pass this bill this year, what are the odds this bill is going to come back next year? That there's going to be an effort by Republicans and Democrats to go after the ability for individuals to make low-dollar donations next year. Probably near zero. And beyond my activities.
Wait, why do you think that exactly?
Because I'm making the case that this is more about targeting an individual, me in this case, than it is about what actually makes up good policy.
So you're basically saying that regardless of the result of the St. Charles County executive's race, once that's over and people have forgotten about the fundraising issues or practices that are causing controversy around you, it just won't be as big of an issue.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong about that, if I were incorrect about that, then we would be seeing folks and groups show up to give testimony in opposition to it. Right now, this is a singular political assault by a guy that probably didn't like very much how I conducted the Senate for my few years in the Senate.
But the specific example he was mentioning mm-hmm. was like testimony from somebody who had dementia or memory problems that clicked on something that they thought was going to go toward a pro-Trump or pro-Republican national group. Mm-hmm. Can you understand after reading that why that sort of thing would cause people to have concern, divorced from whether this is targeted at you or not?
Sure. And you know what we did? Even though that individual never contacted us, we actually went out of – I made the decision to – refund every donation that we've ever gotten from that person in particular. Not because he asked for it, but because you're right. I felt like that was the right thing to do. In fact, we've done that for anyone that has come to us and said, hey, you know, I may have made a donation that's in error. I'd like to get that. We always make that. Every one of these donations are voluntary, and we want people to be supporting our efforts because they like the ideas that we're talking about. And again, when we have hundreds of thousands of people from all over the country that are responding to those messages, we absolutely want to make sure that there's some integrity to the system. In fact, the portals that we use, WinRed, has very strict guidelines that if we get too many folks that are complaining or that they feel like they have been taken advantage of, they will actually shut your account down.
Yeah.
But we have actually had almost spotless record for the past 2 years while we've been doing this.
Yeah, and to play devil's advocate, if you had 100,000 people mm-hmm. donate to you through this way, there's going to be instances like what was mentioned in the newspaper where people feel like they were donating to the wrong thing, but that would probably still be a pretty small – it would be like 0.001
sure.
unless there's a large amount of people doing this.
And keep in mind, this idea of recurring donations or recurring costs or recurring expenses is actually a pretty natural concept in our American society.
Yeah.
I mean – do we have a bill going through the legislature that's going to ask whether or not the cable company has to get a positive confirmation for you to continue charging your credit card every month?
I mean, that would be nice, but I understand, though, that why that would also be kind of annoying.
But that would be
similar to, like, requiring union members to continually take out dues every month.
But we're not having that conversation
no, we're not.
As a part of the bill. And taking a step back from this, the big picture that I would want folks to ask themselves is – would the world be better or not if all candidates built their support bases on low-dollar networks from many, many more donors donating a dollar or two at a time based on a response to ideas versus our current system of politicos in Missouri going to the most powerful special interests in our state, asking for enormous checks and getting checks that are up to $1 million, and then coincidentally, oftentimes seeing legislation pass out of Jefferson City that supports those particular special interests, good or bad.
So you mentioned Doge, which was the Elon Musk-run government efficiency gambit that I think fizzled out eventually. But I do recall when there were articles about your fundraising practices in 2023 and 2024, a lot of it was Trump-related or Trump-issue-related. You know, the company that both you and your PAC hire, Targeted Victory, was actually chastised by Trump for using his name to raise money. So does the president have – or the president's campaign have a point that using his name to raise money for a gubernatorial race was just not the right thing to do?
Well, Donald Trump also is a – he in of himself is a reflection of ideas. So you're right that it's almost – he has become such a – avatar of ideas that it is difficult to separate Donald Trump's name from certain policies that we want to try to get across when we're getting our message out. Now, I will also say, and yeah, this was a new system, so there were some headaches, as I'll describe them, putting this together. But if you also recall, I later secured Donald Trump's endorsement in that gubernatorial
race.
Along with the other two. But yeah. I think that was a strong indication that we're all on the same page, we're all rowing in the same direction.
So the other thing that comes to mind when we're specifically talking about the PAC, Believe in Life and Liberty, that sounds like a generic Republican-leaning PAC, not a PAC that is going to support Bill Eigel's political endeavors. Mm-hmm. Is the use of the PAC name as opposed to, say, Eigel for county executive or Eigel for governor in and of itself deceptive? Because when people see the name of the committee, they think it is some national endeavor.
I think that folks are going to be far more interested in the ideas that they're seeing in addition. And by the way, those disclosures are required for us to put on any solicitation we make. So that name is always going to be there. But I think ultimately folks are making the decision whether or not to donate to that cause based on the message that they're seeing. So if they see a message about a candidate or an entity that's supporting government efficiency, they're going to respond to that far more than the name of the committee. And I think that's the most important thing. And that's, I would argue, that's the way it should be.
In my older age, I have become more blunt in the way I frame things. So I'm just going to kind of like rip the Band-Aid off.
Okay.
Do you think the attention over your fundraising practices are not about your county executive bid, but are about weakening you enough to where you don't win this race and cannot challenge Mike Kehoe in 2028?
Yes to everything but the last statement. I think it's not about trying to have me avoid a particular race in the future. It is absolutely about trying to weaken me versus an honest discussion about what fundraising is good, how we should manage fundraising, and what's appropriate in our current culture. It is absolutely an attack on me.
You don't think the fact that a lot of state legislators who are Republicans, who are close with Governor Kehoe, they're just doing this because they have a burning interest in who the St. Charles County executive is? I'm sorry, Senator, but I feel like they're doing this because they think you're going to primary Kehoe again.
If this were a genuine conversation about who's using these low-dollar networks, and if these low-dollar networks are a good idea, then why haven't these same legislators come out and asked every one of our federal delegation, all of whom use these same avenues, to cease and desist what they're doing? But that conversation doesn't happen. Now, I'm here today arguing that I think these low-dollar networks are great because they allow so many more people to engage in the political process that they've never been done before. And it may lead to a political world where candidates, instead of going after these big checks that always come with expectation, they're going to go based on ideas that they support to a wider number of folks. I think that's a great thing. And I think if we could get the big corporate special interest out of our donations and fundraising, that would be good for the state. But this is where we are.
Bill Eigel is a former state senator from St. Charles County. He's one of several Republicans running for St. Charles County executive later this year. Bill, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was produced and recorded by Jason Rosenbaum. Edited by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.